Welcome back to The Speak in Channel 9. I'm Christina Warren, joined this week by one of our esteemed cloud developer advocates, Mr. Shane Boyer. What's up, Shane?
How's it going?
How are you?
I'm freezing in wonderful the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, because you're not from, because you're used to warmer climates, right?
Yes, I'm from the bottom corner of the United States down in Florida, where it's nice and probably right around 78 degrees.
Yeah, you kind of couldn't get further away, either in temperature or location. You've got like, you know, Seattle here, Orlando there.
Yes.
It's pretty far.
6-hour flight, 50 degree swing. There's rain.
Yeah, there is rain.
We're about 5 degrees from snow. So,
It snowed last week, but we're glad you're here with us,
cool.
And we have some cool stuff we're going to talk about. So, first things first, the Connect Developer Conference is next week. It's in New York City for the first day, and we will be streaming talks. The first day is keynotes, and then the next 2 days are things about innovation and also learning. On the first day, you can watch it right here on Channel 9. On the first day, I'm actually going to be interviewing people after the keynotes during a little bit of a break.
Yeah, there's always great stuff that happens at Connect. Always excited about the stuff we're announcing, probably some new stuff for Visual Studio and DevOps and, you know, who's containers. There's probably a ton of stuff we're going to talk about. Xamarin.
There's always tons of stuff, so be sure to tune in. Yeah. Last year we had a lot of great news, and I have a hunch that this year is going to be really good too.
Yeah.
All right. This is really timely because as you're watching this, it is Veterans Day in the United States, or at least it's the day we're observing Veterans Day.
Right.
And, first of all, thank you to everyone who serves in the military.
Definitely.
You know, your services are appreciated. But on the Microsoft blog, they have a really interesting article about life after service and about people who have moved from working, you know, in the military into civilian life. And this is something you know something about.
Yeah, I come from a large family of veterans, various, you know, Army, Air Force. My father-in-law was in the Navy. So this is important for, to have these types of programs as the veterans are leaving the service and looking for employment after that. There are veterans who have spent a long time in the military, from 20, 30, 40 years sometimes, but there are also the veterans that have come out after just a short while, a couple of years, from anywhere from 4 years, and they're looking to take what they've learned in the service and then being able to apply that in some sort of career afterwards. So we need to have these types of programs to support our veterans post them serving our country. So this is a really good thing.
Yeah, so check out the blog post because it goes into some of the things that Microsoft does to work with veterans to kind of skill them up and like Shane's saying, kind of move from working, in the service and into the civilian life. And a lot of times those skills are really applicable. So this is really great stuff.
Yeah.
Speaking of great things, this is something I'm starting to get really into Azure. And this is always a question that is confusing to me sometimes, and probably is for some of you out there too, which is how to choose an Azure virtual machine.
Yeah, so there's a big hot topic recently is getting your on-premises assets, applications, stuff, and moving them to the cloud. And this is a really cool article on the TechNet backside of the Microsoft blogs, is choosing a VM when you're moving to Azure. So depending on what your needs are, based on your, maybe it's your application or your jobs that you're running, is how much of a storage, GPU, what's the size of the actual server that you're going to need in the cloud. And running through this this VM types article will help you make those decisions and when you're going to acquire those types of assets in Azure. So it's a really good read. It's a quick read, but at least it'll start to help you with those decisions as you're starting to move your stuff onto the cloud.
Great. This is really cool. We were talking about this before the show started when we were kind of going through our list. And basically Microsoft, there's a company called BTT, which is using Microsoft's Internet of Things hub basically to help find out and detect brain disease for things like Alzheimer's or Parkinson's.
Yeah, so this past year, this was also detecting any type of medical ailment using IoT devices was a big topic on the Imagine Cup. So we had a lot of students come on campus, they were giving presentations, and we saw them using things like Kinect and even self-made type of devices to analyze motion and other statistics they were grabbing, throwing them into Azure using machine learning and IoT Hub, and what are the correlations between that and our early kind of analytics that we're finding from the statistics they were grabbing. So this is a really cool thing. They're detecting brain disease and kind of this moving towards this doctorate home type of applications. So this is really neat and seeing how they're applying these this. Again, using the cloud, the power of the cloud to find this type of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really, a lot of times when we talk about the cloud, we talk about Internet of Things, you know, it's in the context of, you know, controlling your locks or getting, you know, more data processing power. But this is actually about detecting things that could save people's lives or yeah. could, you know, at least, or, you know, early onset with things. And I think that's really important to think about the other use cases other than just kind of the more fun stuff.
Yeah, and again, it's using it for medical is a big deal, and having the power of all the machines in the cloud, you can obviously do this a lot faster than you could at, you know, a medical facility on premises and maybe on a laptop or something like that.
Right.
Being able to stretch that and scale those types of those needs out.
You can scale them, and you can also probably use models that you're getting from those things.
Yeah.
You know, more places. So that's really cool. So check out that article. Every week we like to highlight other content that's on Channel 9, and one of our favorite shows is Gals. And so this week we have an interview with Sumit Chauhan, who is the corporate vice president of the Office organization.
Cool.
So she's kind of in charge of, you know, the flagship Office products like Word and PowerPoint across all the platforms. And it's a really great interview. She kind of talks about some of the changes that she made with the engineering methodology within Office. And during her tenure at Office has switched from being having kind of a you know, kind of 3-year annualized release where every 3 years a major version comes out, mm-hmm. to kind of a continuous engineering cycle with Office 365.
Yeah.
And I have to imagine, you know, that's a lot of changes to go through with an engineering team when you are going from, you know, locking something that's shipped to kind of moving to a much more you know, fast-paced kind of, you know, effort.
So yeah, and we're seeing that a lot with all of our products, right? So we're seeing that with Windows, we're doing faster release cycles with Visual Studio, with even down to engineering with ASP.NET, it's going faster as well. So I love that we're focusing and bringing the women in our tech and talking about that. Even our we have our Gal show, I think our interview show that we do here on Channel 9.
Yeah, this is from Gals.
The same one from
yes.
Gals. The reason I'm thinking about it is Jasmine on our CDA, she did an interview this week. I think
yeah.
that's coming up soon.
That's coming up soon. So
yeah.
be sure to check that out. And this is a great interview. So
cool.
Good stuff.
Awesome.
You want to talk about this because this is
yeah.
really important. So this is a great just blog article about how to ask a successful question on Stack Overflow.
Yeah, so this is, I love this topic. I saw this and I was like, yes, we have to talk about this because you'll go through, and I know that everybody's kind of, you know, search foo when they're trying to find an answer yeah. to a question that's half the question. And
yeah, half the battle is having the right search terms.
Yeah, so it's interesting because you go in there and you'll find like, I want to find the answer to X. And you go, oh, this is a repeat of this. This is a repeat of this. So going through this and understanding how to ask the right question is super important. So this article talks about, you know, how do they maintain their questions? You know, how do you find success in asking the right types of things? So this is a super cool article. So definitely a good read from Janet Swift on this article. So I really enjoyed this read.
Yeah, and also, you know, but props just in general to Stack Overflow, because I don't know what I would do.
Yeah.
It's hard to remember what we did before Stack Overflow. It's been around for almost a decade now, but like it was one of those things where, you know, kind of be like lazy web, you know, kind of asking people questions, and
yeah.
it's become this really great repository. So yeah, definitely check that article
yeah,
out.
Definitely.
Speaking of really cool things, we thought this was fake.
Yeah.
We're still not sure. I want to first of all give a shout out to my friend Rhett Jones at Gizmodo, who wrote this article. Love you, Rhett, my former colleague. This is a video that Tom Scott made. He visited the Cloudflare offices, and Cloudflare is one of the big CDNs. And he figured out that if you use lava lamps, that basically Cloudflare has a whole wall of lava lamps, and they take photos of these lava lamps, and they monitor them for any changes that are happening as like the lava is moving, and they use that to create the cryptographic keys.
Yeah, it like generates a hash based
yeah.
on how the bubbles work in the lava. And I think it's just total BS. I don't think it actually happened. I think this is like a spoof.
You think this is a spoof?
Yeah, so I want to talk to somebody over here who can tell me like, no, this is actually happening.
Yeah, like, let us know, Cloudflare, because I will be honest, like, we were joking about this. It was like, if somebody had told me before I saw this video, which has Cloudflare people and like totally seems
yes.
legit, despite Shane's protests, it seems like this is real. I would be like, no, that's a lie.
No, but they also talked about like at one of their other offices, they had like this pendulum thing that
yeah.
yes, we're doing the same thing with a pendulum. And that's when I went off the rails. And I said, no way.
One of them was like a radioactive kind of
yes.
thing. I don't even know.
But if it's true, I'm totally into it.
I have to say, as crazy as it sounds, this doesn't seem like a bad way of getting a unique data set.
don't know, but I know two CDAs that would love this. And, you know, like Vadim on our team and Paige Bailey would eat this up if they would get a hold of this. So, yes, I want to see it in motion.
Yeah, actually, we should totally do like a Channel 9 visit to Cloudflare.
Yes, that would be awesome.
Check that out. Okay, but that's great.
Yes.
All right. You love this because you love Star Wars.
Yes. So NVIDIA came out with this new collector's edition. I don't know who collects graphics cards.
Especially $1,200 graphics cards. Yes, the Titan XP Star Wars edition.
This thing runs on 12 gigs of memory, right? I mean, this is ridiculous. They said it's like 12 teraflops of data, right? I don't need this to run Flappy Bird, but...
No, you don't. You don't. I mean, it's double the graphics capabilities of the new Xbox One X.
Yes.
Although the Xbox One X...
I like to get a couple of these just to put on the wall and have them glow and do cool things.
You could get them in green, you know, obviously, or you can get them in Sith red.
They said, no, it's the moody red version.
The moody red version. That's moody the red one version. I like.
Yes, I would have a couple of these and...
$1,200 though, that's insane.
Yeah, I bet you could like make cookies on them or something from all the heat.
Oh, maybe. I bet you could. Probably, you know, I don't know. You know, somewhere in some part of the world, there are a bunch of like Bitcoin miners who have a bunch of these things like hooked together or Star Wars fans.
I'm gonna heat my tiny house with one of them or something.
For real, I don't even think about it. But this is, we love Star Wars, we have to say that.
It's awesome.
All right, now it's time for a pick of the week. Shane, what is your pick of the week?
So my pick of the week is the brand new .net website. It was just kind of revamped. It's got a cool purpley theme to it.
Yeah, it looks really new and modern. So it's the website is .net.
.net. We spent a lot of money on the domain, apparently. But I really like it because it's got a lot of cool features. We have a whole architecture site on it section. So if you're talking about doing microservices or lift and shift and things like that, we've got all that built in there on how to do apps for that. Super easy to go and get the latest .NET SDKs there. Click and download and install. We've got a really good in-browser tutorial. So you can actually do C# in the browser, learn how to do it. It's all within the browser. You don't have to download or install anything. You can just do the demos and the hello worlds and the walkthrough and learn as you go without actually having anything on your PC other than a browser. So that was the coolest thing we've got in there right now. But check it out, .net, learn some C#.
Absolutely.
That's What's great. Your pick this week?
All right, my pick of the week is the new version, the Visual Studio Code October release. It was just released this week. It's so good. Our fellow CDA, Brian Clark, made a fantastic walkthrough video that goes through all the new features. We've got that link in the show notes, so check that out. But there are a bunch of new things. First and foremost, like we talked about a couple weeks ago, the blue icon is back, so pumpkin spice season, even though it is pumpkin spice season
that's
now,
okay.
It's gone. So the blue icon is back, you can relax. There's also, you can do vertical panels, which apparently was like a really highly requested user feature. Multi-root workspaces is now stable, and this is really cool. This one I thought was just completely, completely awesome, is getting Git indicators in your Explorer to like know what the status of a file is and where it is. And you know,
the Git integration across the board with VS Code is awesome.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And so obviously, you know, this is VS Code is free, it's open source, we take feedback from the community, we take patches. So if you have things that you want to see, things you want to commit to, you know, it's all on GitHub, you can contribute. But check out the new release notes from Brian because they're great.
And watch Brian's video.
It's really good. It'll give you a great overview of everything that's awesome, that's happening. But it's just, it's a great release. So that is my pick of the week.
Awesome.
All right. Well, Shane, that does it for us. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
And we'll see you guys next time. Actually, next week, because of Connect, there will not be a This Week in Channel 9. So we'll see you guys in a couple weeks. Take care.
Bye.